Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The thing is that Ian's confinement rules changed. So he asked whether or not I could come to the house here where the studio's done. Uh-huh. The show's done in the studio. And this probation officer said, sure.
So we permission had to be asked of the state to allow you to sit down at this table with us tonight.
Yeah,
and
the interesting thing.
He's going to get served all the subpoenas that he's been avoiding for months.
Yeah, they don't seem to want me at all.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, they've had every opportunity. I've come in and out of the best place to get served a subpoena, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this, is when you travel into the country, the there's a, you know, the list of, what do they call that? I don't know.
The travel, yeah.
The list of people who are on the plane. There's some term.
Yeah.
Anyway, that list of people goes right to the FBI.
Yep.
And if there's a flagged name.
Manifest,
that's it, exactly right. You know, if there's a flagged name, they gotcha. Coming into the country, I had a situation where I was coming in from Honduras to Miami.
Yep.
And I think this was maybe June.
Okay.
And they called my name on the plane, and I'm like, oh, God.
while you were sitting on the plane?
Yeah, I got to leave first.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's some guys that need to talk to you.
We have to apologize to all of the thirsty watchers on our video
streams.
What?
Have you looked at me? I'm gorgeous.
Who were expecting Nikki?
Who were expecting somebody different.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an entirely different character to the face. Yeah.
So, but other than that, of course, you know, happy to have you here. And it feels like it's been a long time since you sat in the chair.
It's probably been 6 months.
I guess I
didn't have any reason to come back.
Yeah.
You know, like, what would be the point of coming to New Hampshire when I can't be on the show?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also feels like not much changed, right? Like, he sits down, he's in the chair, we do the show.
Well,
like,
I mean, he'd only been doing it for
20,
a couple of decades.
Understood.
So, yeah.
But it's like that thing when you get together with an old friend, everything just falls right back into place for a short period of time that you're together.
Yeah.
And you go your separate ways again.
Yeah, it's a good it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I still, you can't wait for the eventual OG reunification of the founders.
Yes,
the
I can't wait. I, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I miss my friend. I had no idea because I mean, people who listen, longtime listeners of the show would have felt the animosity between Ian and I. And there's certainly tension. It probably has something to do with my own pugnaciousness and his too. Many people out there listening know something about Bitcoin. And if they're like me, they're getting asked, "Well, can you explain Bitcoin to me?" And then you try to do that. And what
it's
I would recommend, if you know something about Bitcoin, and not that you need the course, but go to bitcoin.com, and I think it's Get Started, and there's some videos there.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the videos, not to educate yourself, but to see, because there's the first video is 2 minutes long.
Right.
It's not like you're dedicating a lot of time. You just go to bitcoin.com and get started, and there it is. You can then decide whether or not the next time somebody asks you that question, maybe you just want to go to bitcoin.com, get started, and show them that video.
Right.
So that somebody who's, you know, put the time in, rather than being put on the spot, can you explain Bitcoin to me? Yeah, it's a lot easier if you just have a video to show them and made by an expert.
Well, and I've even online on social media, when people have gone to, you know, say one of these videos, the reaction I get, I won't say frequently, but frequently enough for me to mention it, is, okay, I watched the one video, now I got 1,000 questions. It's like, well, watch the second video. Right? It's generally my reaction. It's like, yes, that's good. You've learned something, and now, of course, you have a bunch more questions, so you're inspired to learn about it. Go and, you know, repeat the process that you just went through to learn the one thing and inspired you to have questions. I don't understand why folks can't seem to do that. You know what motivates human beings to learn? Curiosity. Right. And if you look at even like charter schools who fare way better than public schools, they develop at least part of their curriculum to be what's called self-learning or self-directed learning, something along those lines.
Different schools do it differently. Yeah.
Yeah. But like a child shows an interest in a thing And so they go, well, where do you think this comes? They start asking the child questions.
That's the thing.
And so, like, the child's curiosity. Now, within all of these things, you're going to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, you're going to learn a bunch of different subjects based on this thing that you have motivation to learn because you are attracted to a thing. Like, you know, a kid in a room picks up a guitar or something like that. Oh, you're interested in the guitar. Okay, well, there's math involved in music. There's history involved in music. There's all of the things that they supposedly teach you in school involved, but you just learn it based on your curiosity instead of based on rote, you know.
So curiosity is the starting point.
Yes.
But you need to have, at some point or another, a kid needs to have been taught, well, how do I focus my curiosity on a topic in order to learn better? And I know there's teachers listening and retired teachers listening to me right now are like, but I did all that. And to you, I want to say thank you. But you would also agree that there are plenty of people with whom you worked that just read, that they were just regurgitating a textbook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're in there. They've got too good of a job to quit. They should have gone on and done something else in life. But the, you know, the pension and the, you know, the summers off were just too much for them. First, we started out with, you know, Ian's sort of favorite long-haired devil music.
Yeah, I remember he used to rotate in, like, some Megadeth and, you know, other various Inc. heavy metal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Grip Inc.,
I think.
Yeah,
I think it was Grip Inc. and, I don't know, some of a variety of them out there. I don't listen to that stuff.
I do, and I enjoyed that back in the day. But then when y'all started doing the Rebel Inc. stuff,
then
we
had
a
consultant who came in who said, you should have only mild music, so that way it doesn't detract from what you're talking about. And I don't, you know, I mean, you pay the guy the money, so you tend to do what he says.
Yeah.
But I think it was a bad advice, generally. I mean, you know, God love him, but I just don't think it was good advice for the show. So we have the mild music that we had as our extra music. So when we're going out, you'll hear this very, you know, subtle stuff that's really just a cue to us to that, you know, the break's coming and, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas the intro, what is the reason not to have the strong, powerful music on the way in? So after maybe a year of having the mild music on the intro and the listeners complaining and all that stuff, we said, oh, you know, maybe we'll talk to one of these libertarian bands out there. And Ian contacted the guys from Rebel Inc. and blink.
I also hate bad lyrics, right?
Okay.
I don't like a song that is like, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby.
Okay.
Hey, baby, hey, baby. It's like, don't repeat the same three words for, and that's all the, like, if you go look up the lyrics online and it's just the same, like, half a sentence repeated 700 times. I'm like, no. So what I'm doing now is I'm listening to music without any lyrics at all. I'm listening to a bunch of, like, I guess it's jazz, but, like, jazz has apparently changed where it's more like funk, right? Mm. I get a funk influence in there. Bands like Snarky Puppy, bands like Lettuce, they're actually a Northeast band.
Huh.
They are funk-based, but they have a big horn section.
And well, I like horns. Anybody that gives a trumpet player a job is a hero, as far as I'm concerned.
So that's kind of like, I mean, I still listen to metal, but, like, when I'm not listening to metal, I'm listening to funk-based, you know, jazz fusion, I guess is what it's called. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I like that.
Yeah. So we should talk about some things.
Before we go before we go on, one more thing. I've read that songs now have far fewer lyrics.
Yes.
Meaning that they repeat the same lyric over and over again. And when you said that, the first thing that came to mind for me was a relatively new song, new by my standard, I'm 51, called Gucci Gang. The guy just repeats the word Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Oh, fun.
And just, I mean, it's catchy.
Is the science settled?
Yeah, science is settled. Well, you can't argue
on
with
some
science.
Things it is.
Well, is it, though? Because the whole bit about science is that if new information comes to light, then it may cause you to reconsider what some might think is settled science.
You're just looking for an excuse to not get the vaccine.
Actually, I'm looking for a segue into this story from FEE.
I before we jump into that, I'd like to talk about plate tectonics.
Really?
You know what I? You know what
I
I'm
do know. Yeah,
to?
it's the continents shifting. You know, when, like, earthquakes and stuff occur, like, one piece of the continent goes under the other and over the other, and this is how, like, mountains are formed and all that stuff.
You didn't learn that in school.
Actually, I did.
Not government school.
Yeah.
It was not even I'm sure you didn't.
No, I think sure
you,
I did.
I think I. Well, it would be a very unusual place.
I want to see all your class homework, Captain.
It was like ninth grade geography or something.
They didn't teach that stuff back then. It was still not settled science that plate tectonics even existed in the 80s. And you and I are the same age. You're 1 year my junior.
Okay, sure.
Or when
so
you
Florida like, school 72? Versus Wisconsin school?
It could be, but I think that he probably learned it someplace else and just presumed.
I distinctly remember.
Okay.
But, you know, go on.
So
plate
this,
tectonics, go.
There were accomplished geologists, people who had...
The science was not settled either way at that point.
The science wasn't even close to settled. I've got the Dane Bramage.
Dane Bramage.
I can't even get that right.
Dane Bramage, yes.
It's funny. I mean, I just don't remember things that I used to remember. Like, it's like getting old. It's like I aged 20 years in 1 week.
And you're sure it's COVID related?
Well, yeah, okay. I am.
So I felt the same way after getting into an automobile accident where I did bop my head a little.
Yeah.
I probably had a light concussion.
Yeah, you did.
But I do remember feeling distinctly dumber since then.
Like total? Like it hasn't improved?
Yeah. Like now, of course, you know, I'm over 40, et cetera, and so on. So part of that is probably like, oh, you're
not healing
old,
the way you used to.
And your brain, you know, you don't have the cognitive speed that you did when you were 20, you know, or 25. Or,
yeah.
You know, that kind
I had
of thing.
The cognitive speed, but I thought about stupid things.
No, I just find myself like struggling more for words. Reading comprehension is a little more difficult for me now, whereas that used to be my strong suit. I used to be able to read something, and then if you asked me anything about it, I'd be like, oh yeah, there's that and the other thing, and like I can still do that, but like the long term portion is gone.
The worst part is reading legalese. Anything written in legal stuff, I mean, I might as well not bother because I just can't even parse through it.
Do you like that I'm still a communist? Have you been listening to all of
my communist comments? My thought is, yes. Is that you're a genuine person and you're living out your life in the best way that you possibly can. I disagree with the notions of communism. I don't think they're going to happen on planet Earth. I think that's something for heaven. Or
helicopters.
I'm just so happy to hear your voice. That's how I felt.
Yes. So, but you know, I still want to say being dumbed down, they really like the public really stupid, as we know. And, they still got stupid things. I mean, it's obviously done on purpose. If people become smart, we become rebellious and have revolutions and question authority. That's for sure. So, but, the dumb thing is that I still hear that they have indoor smoking at the casinos. On certain reservation, and I'm thinking to myself, how could this go on in
freedom.
The United States?
Well, I'm a quit smoker, and no one's more sanctimonious than that. But what I would say is that you know, tobacco is from the North American continent, and it is culturally something that American Indians would be all about. Plus, you can keep people keep butts in seats at casino tables longer if you allow smokers to stay there and smoke.
It's the idea of the sympathetic victim, right? If you're going to win in court for whatever it happens to be, you have to be the sympathetic victim. There are certain things like within the liberty movement that it would behoove us to put certain people out in front. To do activism or civil disobedience. And there's certain people that should be nowhere near the front lines of that. Like, I would never be on the front lines because I'm kind of a bad guy, right? Generally, that's stigma. So you're never going to get a sympathetic judge to look at me and go like, well, we kind of believe him.
Right.
But like a handicapped female of some kind. Whatever, like, oh, they'll fall all over the place for that.
When you see aggression displays in male primates in order to sort of take over the group or the tribe or whatever, yeah. It's generally seen as a threat to everyone in the tribe as for their whole, you know, existence. So this aggression display that says I'm gonna be the new leader, I'm gonna be the one in charge, it's gonna upset everything. So right. We are hardwired against aggression displays.
Right.
Well wait a minute,
David. Let me finish this thought on this one, David. I presume you are like, you know, in court as you are elsewhere. You're emphatic. You're very clear in your points, and you have an incredibly precise and active mind. And when you get emphatic, I think to the lesser primates that you're, you know, dealing with in that court situation, you just look like a threat.
Jack, you're on Free Talk Live. You wanted to say something either to or about David from New Mexico?
I don't want to say anything mean.
Okay.
But he needs to relax a little bit. You know, I don't think I'd let Dave babysit my kids, based on what I know.
I understand it, he was the caretaker of his young children. Of course, this is him saying so, but the presumption is that he was quite good at it. Anyway, go right ahead.
No, I just think he could be a little bit more...
He's an intense dude.
Yeah, he's intense.
Yeah.
I think, like you guys said, in court, if he's like that...
If he was like
that,
hurt
his cause, and I hope his cause, I hope the best for him.
Yeah, well, it's really basically his case is over, and there's nothing that can be done about it. He has separate cases of different things that he's always got going. It seems like he cannot help himself but find himself in a court. And he swims like a fish in that water. He's excellent at it.
Well, good to have you, Mark. I've only been listening for about 6 months. So
okay, so awesome did you get to hear me at all previously?
I only heard you when you did a call-in.
Okay.
Not too long
so welcome
ago.
To the newest member of the Free Talk Live in studio.
Yeah, the
team.
Oldest. Right?
That's right, the old days. Yeah, I think I left in June. Maybe it was as late as July.
We'll have to get you all trained up, Mark.
I would like to ask all the property owners in New Mexico, because I can't speak countrywide, but I would like to ask all the property owners in New Mexico not to pay their property taxes this year.
Nice.
That's what I would ask them. I won't pay mine. I would ask them not to pay theirs and see what happens.
I think this kind of protest would be very effective in bringing the attention of the – and I presume you're paying to a county out there. Is that right?
I'm paying to the state.
It's the state of New Mexico that you pay?
To the county. Yes, that's correct. State of New Mexico is in debt. The county of Sandoval County is in debt.
Yep.
The village of Cuba is in debt.
Yep.
Rick Romero is running for the mayor, and he's the chief of the fire department, volunteer fire department out there, and he ain't worth a nickel.
So here's the unfortunate outcome of what you're asking. You're not going to pay yours. You're not going to get your neighbors to go along with you.
But may.
Some may. But not enough where they still won't single you out, take your property and business as usual.
I don't think they'll do it. In the it's unwise for them to go and take the property. The wiser thing for them to do is just to. The property taxes aren't that expensive out in New Mexico, as I understand it. So it's just they put a lien on and they put charge him 12% per year.
Yeah.
And then when he sells, he ends up, which ultimately either he will or his heirs will.
Okay.
And then, you know, they get their money in the long term, whether they didn't get it in the short term. And, you know.
In about the last year and a half, I'm really becoming confused over this COVID virus situation, because over a year and a half ago, or almost a year and a half ago, COVID was going to get under control last summer, supposedly, when the weather got warmer.
Well, then all the anti-vaxxers didn't get vaxxed and ruined it for everybody else.
Well, the first thing that these COVID, the experts will say, and I think we should believe them, is, well, we don't know. Like, they don't know.
That's the only thing you should believe what they say.
They don't know. I mean, they tell you they don't know, and then they go on and say things after that, and then we presume that they know what they're talking
about.
Well,
they tell you they know. They tell you it's safe. They tell you it's effective. And if you go over to the VAERS website, you'll see over 1 million people have reported some sort of adverse effect.
I took the vaccine, and the first one, the Moderna. I took the first Moderna shot and got ill from it. You know, nothing terrible. I've felt sicker from other stuff. I then had the Johnson & Johnson shot. I know this is confusing. Believe me, it had to do with travel. And I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's my personal experience.
Now, I know that you had COVID. Did you get the vaccines after?
Yes. Okay. No one cares whether you had COVID. I couldn't prove that I had COVID.
Right.
Because no medical professional wanted to see me up here in, you know, quaking with fear, New England. If I was in a room with someone who had COVID, I would want that person to wear a mask. That'd be good. However, what we do see from the data is that you can't discern a difference in a community that has, you know, has had mask mandates or lockdowns or any of these things based on deaths or cases or any of the graphs, any of the signs. Like, people talk about a tsunami of evidence. There's a tsunami of evidence against masks and for masks. If you want to use the adjective tsunami, the noun is a, what is that, a gerund?
And I want to say, if I was in a room with someone who had COVID, it would behoove me to wear my own mask to protect myself, not make it incumbent upon them to protect themselves from everybody else.
This is the difficulty with masks. Masks are more effective in protecting the other people.
But
mask is effective.
I don't want to dwell on masks, but it appears to me that masks didn't really do anything to stop the spread. It appears to me that the lockdowns didn't do anything to stop the spread. It appears to
me they weren't really lockdowns. They were, I mean, like, what they did was they took the most vulnerable people and sent them to work, while the rest, like the you know, middle class and upper class, did weird things in their homes, like washing off their tin cans before they put them in the fridge.
I don't get the same commercials when I'm on hold as I do when I'm listening to the regular radio. So
yeah, that's true.
Different chains of commercials and whatnot. But like about 7:30, a commercial came on, and the opening line was "Get the Edge," and it was for some male enhancement pill.
Yeah,
so it's like they knew you were here, Mark.
I am enhancing. Yeah,
compelling and enhancing.
Compelling and enhancing. Yes. Indeed.
You gave all of Northern Michigan hardwood and didn't even know it. How
about that? They.
And here I thought not having Nikki on the show would be a detriment to the, like, sexual attractiveness of the show.
She is getting really good.
Well, she's awesome.
I've been listening to, you know, she's a good host.
She knows when to pipe in and stuff, and, like, you know, it's all relevant what she has to say. Her perspective is unique because she has training in the medical industry.
She doesn't mind sitting in, you know, a room with all males. I mean, that's been our difficulty is that this sort of momentum that we have, this masculine momentum, and the ladies don't want to come and hang out with
us. Sadly, she got bumped for you, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I had a bunch of Richie.
I get bumped next week. That's why I advocated.
Go ahead,
I wonder if Nikki ever watched Easy Rider like I told her to. Nick, you guys remember that scene when they're sitting on the campfire?
I don't think I've seen it. So recently, I guess this was September, the Biden administration was you know, in charge when the military dropped $1 million bomb on a minivan full of children in Afghanistan. And you know how this does to me. I just get all whipped up when these politicians murder people around the world, and
you and me both, brother.
No one cares. You know, like, here I go on Facebook. I'm like, you know, does anybody feel responsible for this? And here's the question I have. If you voted for Joe Biden, are you responsible in some way, because you put him in the White House, for the murders of those 10 kids? Are you responsible? I mean, it seems like you'd be some kind of lesser included accessory or something like that from a legal standpoint.
Sure. I mean, this
you
is...
You pay your taxes, you're a financier.
You pay your taxes under duress.
Isn't this the same, we're going to call it ethical question, perhaps moral question, where there are people who say things like, well, Hitler actually didn't kill anybody.
It's an interesting question.
Yep. Right.
Hitler did kill one person.
Okay. All right. Hitler. But, like, you know, when you're talking about the millions
Hitler
of people.
Hitler did kill Hitler.
You're talking about the millions of people who died.
I understand.
You know, under his watch. Right.
Right.
The same thing with any president. Right. Obama bombed a whole bunch of people. The subtitle here, I think, is a very powerful statement. It says, when married to power, an exaltation of science can have disastrous effects.
Well, I think that I exalt science. It's people calling what they're saying science.
When married to power is the caveat.
Well,
when you're saying things like trust the science, but you are a person of political power, right? That is what creates sort of the undesirable situation.
Judge Dredd, Dr. Fauci, I am the science.
I wish these people in power would trust the economics. It's a soft science, right? You know, it's considered one of the sciences. I wish they'd trust economics and stop just printing money willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's pretty clear what's going to happen. These people don't trust the science. They just say things to get you to do what they want you to do.
Huh. I think they understand the economics, and they act the way they do because they know it benefits them. They can't be that dumb.
Oh, I know they know the economics. And, you know, that's all. The ultimate here is that Americans have allowed COVID. COVID is the watch the birdie while they.
The sleight of hand.
They just right. came right in and they created all this money. And where'd the money go? They created half of the U.S. dollars in existence.
Yep.
Have been created in the last 2 years.
Yep. So statements like the science is settled and believe in science have been perceived and accepted more so in society, and maybe it signals a growing trend. Statements like this present two major problems. First, science is determined to be the final and indisputable. Second, it is accompanied by a value or moral judgment. For example, scientific studies indicate that wearing a helmet can reduce head injury by 48%, serious head injury by 60%, traumatic brain injury by 53%. While it takes little effort to align the science with such a matter, I intend to demonstrate that an application of the first behavior is contradictory to the foundation of science, and the second lies entirely outside of its purview. To establish common ground, we begin by reviewing the merits and fundamentals of the scientific method. First, an observation is made, followed by a question regarding the observation. A hypothesis is then formed that could potentially answer the question. A prediction about future results based on hypothesis is then tested by experiments. Analysis of the results of the experiments are utilized to confirm or reject the hypothesis. If the results seem to demonstrate that the hypothesis is correct, then confidence begins to build in the predictive power of the hypothesis and its ability to describe the real world.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.